Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to our Thursday edition of Catholic Answers Live. Very special show for you today. St. Peter the Apostle tells us, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct. Lots of us might like to ask Peter just exactly what does he mean by that? What precisely is holiness and how do we go about getting it? Holiness is our topic this hour. If you have questions about what it is, why it matters, and how to get it, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Dr. Edward Sree. Dr. Sree is a professor of theology and vice president of mission and outreach at the Augustine Institute in Denver, Colorado. He's the founding leader, along with Curtis Martin, of Fellowship of Catholic University Students, known as FOCUS. And he served as the content director, and he was the host of Symbolon, the Catholic Faith Explained and Beloved, Finding Happiness in Marriage, both of which are, well, I think just probably hundreds of thousands, millions of Catholics have been exposed to them. His many books include Who Am I to Judge?, Into His Likeness, Men, Women, and the Mystery of Love, among many more. Dr. Edward Sree, thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Am I right? Like a Symbolon, I feel like I see it everywhere. Has it been a huge success, Symbolon?
You know, I'm so grateful. When we first came out with it back in 2013, this is before we had any kind of distribution. We came up with these beautiful videos, and there were about 50 parishes that were using them, and my mom knew about them too. Uh-huh. But we poured out our whole lives into building this program, and it just didn't get out there. And then Father Fessio from Ignatius Press approached us and said, hey, we saw these videos. We want to help you get it out there. And they connected us with Lighthouse Catholic Media, and suddenly it started traveling all over the world. I know it's been used in over 5,000 parishes in the United States alone, and people overseas, and every year people using it for RCIA. We just went through that cycle now, and I just had so many people contacting us at the Institute and me personally just thanking us for the program that's helped them in their journey through the faith. But even more so, I've heard it more about adult Catholics who, you know, been Catholic for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of their lives, and now they're going through a deepening in their faith, and they want to understand the faith that they never really got taught growing up.
Yeah.
And so we're hearing a lot of reversion stories as well.
Well, I there's a lot of relatively young Catholic institutions. I think Catholic Answers is among them. I hope so. Certainly Augustine Institute is among them. Not hundreds of years old and thousands, but relatively young institutions that are filling that gap, that's basically their mission, that adults have not had the opportunity for whatever reason to be well prepared in their faith, and the need for it is a felt need. People know it, and they're looking for this stuff.
Yeah, I think there's two things. One, you know, that many people recognize that the church went through a rocky period after Second Vatican Council, where people were trying to translate this. How do we live this out? And there was a crisis in catechesis where the faith just wasn't being passed on effectively in many parishes and schools. At the same time, the culture is dramatically different than it was 50 years ago. I mean, even like 10 years ago, you know. And so we need a modern day presentation of the timeless teachings of Jesus Christ, but presented in a timely way that addresses the questions people have today. Because people are wondering not just, you know, what are the four marks of the church? They're just wondering, why do I need a church?
Right.
You know, they're not just debating like a particular moral issue. They're just wondering, well, why are we talking about morality anyway? Everyone should just be able to do whatever they want. Let's just love people and be tolerant. You know, so the cultural environment is different, and we need to go out and meet them. That's why great things like Catholic Answers and all these other wonderful apostolates are out there to help fill that gap.
Yeah, bit by bit. But now, how is this connected to holiness, though? Because I think that actually is at the crux of the matter. When people say, why do I need a church? What is all this about morality, particularly sexual morality? Why should I be kind of, I don't know, people see that as an obstacle to their own liberty. Why should I submit to these things? How's that connected to holiness?
Yeah, well, you know, holiness can sound pretty ethereal, you know, like way up there in the clouds, or, you know, we hear these lines from Vatican II about the universal call to holiness, you know, and it sounds really serious. But for the average person out there, the average Joe in the pew, you know, you hear universal call to holiness. It sounds like something from Star Trek. You know, what is that really all about?
Right, it's a prime directive.
You know, but, you know, it's just quite simple. And I know our Holy Father Pope Francis just recently came out with an apostolic exhortation about holiness. And it's really simply, you know, taking on the face of Christ, imitating Jesus, living deeply in union with him, or maybe more profoundly, allowing his life to transform mine. That's what holiness is. It's not something, again, just vague out there. And people wonder, well, how do I know I'm really growing in holiness? And I always like to say, you know, there's no holiness thermometer out there that you can take and say, hey, I grew in 15 degrees of holiness in the last week. You know, how do I know I'm really on the right path? And I think, you know, that's what this book here is all about. It's about the theme of following Jesus as a disciple, which is all about, am I imitating Jesus? Am I thinking like him, loving like him, serving like him, being generous like he was? Am I allowing his life to transform mine? That's the key. So it's not just like some warm, fuzzy feeling I get in the chapel or like just feeling close to God. That's not holiness. When we get those moments, we should thank the Lord. They bless us. They can encourage us. But you can be completely dry in your prayer life and wonder, where is God right now?
Yeah.
And be one of the most holy people in your neighborhood.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's not about the feelings, and it's not about something, again, just like up in the clouds. It's really, really practical. Am I imitating the Lord? In fact, the most famous, one of the most famous classical works on the spiritual life is by Thomas a Kempis. And you know the name. It's Imitation of Christ.
Right.
So
right.
I think that's what we need to be focusing on is, am I really striving to imitate our Lord?
Right. And it brings with it joy, and it brings with it freedom, and it brings with it all kinds of gifts and graces. But we resist it. Why? Why? I mean, it seems to me that there's a general, this is almost a rule, I guess, of human life. We resist holiness.
Yeah. You know, I'd say a couple things. One is sometimes it's easier to just view the spiritual life, the Catholic life, as just a bunch of things to check off, like boxes to check off. Okay, I said my prayers this morning. I went to church.
Mm.
I followed the right rules. I believe the right doctrines. You know, that in many ways, that's easy. But to actually love that person that hurt me,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, be generous when I just want to be selfish right now, you know, or, you know, be sacrificial when I'd rather just be a little lazy right now. Like those things, like that's the real spiritual battles we fight every day in our own souls. And yeah, it's easy to get the right answers on a theology quiz. Just say, oh, there we go. I believe all those things.
Right.
It's a lot harder to live like Jesus.
Yeah, amen to that. I thought of a name for your, it could be called a sanctimometer, the thing that measures whether you're growing in holiness. we got a bunch of calls already. I think we have time to get one in before the break. Would you be willing to
go to
phones?
Let's do it.
Let's start with an anonymous caller in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Anonymous, you are on with Dr. Edward Sree. Your question, please.
Yes, thank you. So I know you mentioned about resisting the call, but I'm not purposely resisting the call to holiness, but I had a question in regards to that. So I'm wondering, like, how do you come about approaching how to become more holy with scrupulosity? I always feel like I'm not cutting and meeting the mark, and it's like really interfering with how I my faith life as a Catholic. So I'm wondering, like, can you give me any like advice or tips? Because it seems like all the faith direction I'm getting from like priests, it's not the same, but it's like it's almost like the same.
Yeah, a couple things. Can I ask, are you scrupulous more on like moral matters or more on how you say your prayers and, you know, do pious deeds?
Anonymous?
Yeah, it's moral.
On the moral matters. Okay. One thing I think is very helpful. First of all, I heard you say that you're talking to some priests. I think that's important. And really, trust your priests. You know, trust someone outside of you to speak into this. So when someone tells you you're okay, you know, as long as it's, you know, the teachings of the church and you're basically following them, allow them to guide you, because you need someone on the outside. It can't just be you making these judgment calls if you're struggling with this. The second thing is to take time to study God's mercy and to think about that and to contemplate it, to pray about it. Because sometimes in our scrupulosity, we're like, oh, I didn't do it the right way, and then I feel bad about it, and I feel like I'm not a good Christian. And we have to remember that even, let's say, I make a little mistake on a certain moral matter, or maybe I make a big mistake and struggle with something. No matter what happened there, Jesus is merciful. And if I have that confidence that I can always go back, I can bring it to confession, it's not like I broke a rule again. You know, like when I see my kids, for example, and they make a mistake and they know they're working on something, they're trying to get better at this, and they stumble, I'm not there pointing, oh, you did it again. If I see in their heart that they're already feeling badly about it, they're like, oh, Dad, I did it again. And, you know, I can tell they're beating themselves up already. It makes me want to go, hey, it's okay. And I want to hug them. You can do this. Don't worry. You know, that's real love. And that's how our Heavenly Father looks at us. He's not there just counting and just waiting for us like a cop on the side of the road, just seeing, oh, you went a half a mile over the speed limit. That's not how God is. God is full of love and mercy. He just wants a relationship with us. The last thing he wants us is to be beating ourselves up and so with scrupulosity that's keeping us from a real relationship.
Okay, Anonymous?
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. We do have to go to a break. However, we are joined by the author of Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ, Dr. Edward Sri. Your calls on holiness when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. In this hour, we have a very special guest with us, Dr. Edward Sri from the Augustine Institute. And you may know him. You most likely know him from Symbolon or one of his many books. Who Am I to Judge? I remember that came out right after, not right after, but subsequent to the Pope saying that. And that's about making a reasonable response to relativism and all that. So I'm right about that, right?
Yeah. How do we talk about morality in a relativistic age? Yep.
Yeah. And so there's probably just about a million ways you can get to know Dr. Edward Sree, but we're talking a little bit about his book, Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ and the Call to Holiness. And as you said, it can sound very intimidating, this idea of the universal call to holiness. So I wonder if you could tell me, do you have a sense of what a holy person is like? Like, what do you experience when you're around a holy person? Is it are they chanting the entire time, or
they usually levitate about 6 feet?
They levitate.
Feet. If you levitate 6 feet in the air, that's a sign of great holiness.
Sanctimometer goes way up. So, what are the qualities of a holy person? I mean, that we're talking about.
You know, I want to turn to Pope Benedict and Pope Francis here on this.
Okay.
Pope Benedict, in his wonderful work, Jesus of Nazareth, gives a beautiful reflection on the Beatitudes. And he says that when you look at the Beatitudes, it's basically when Jesus is teaching, he's giving a self-portrait, if you will. He's describing his own life. And that's the life that we're all called to imitate. We're called to have Christ's life transform us, and we're going to radiate that out to the world. Pope Francis, in his recent document on holiness, like Pope Benedict, turns right to the Beatitudes to answer that very question. You know, what does holiness look like? Well, when you're a poor spirit, when you can, you know how to comfort others who are suffering, when you seek righteousness and justice in this world, when you are a true peacemaker, you're not someone that's gossiping and dividing and, you know, but you're truly bringing people together, you're willing to endure persecution, that the Beatitudes are, and these aren't just like, oh, here's eight things you should try to incorporate in your life. Just think of it. These are windows into the life of Jesus, and that person that's truly holy becomes like Jesus. And sometimes we can think of holiness on an individual level. You know, we're looking at it's about me and Jesus, about how I feel in the chapel. It's about when I pray the rosary, did I say the words with great affection? And all that's wonderful. I mean, we want to pray and we need that time and devotions. But I'll turn to one of my favorite saints, St. Catherine of Siena, where she spent years in solitude with God, and these intimate dialogues with God. It was her and the Father, and it's just amazing. But then one day God challenged her to go out back into the world, and she was a little nervous about this. She goes, I don't want to lose this spirit of contemplation, this closeness, and God challenged her on this. She says, no, Catherine, I'm going to teach you how to walk with 2 feet. And the 2 feet is love of God and love of neighbor, because what you do for your neighbor and how you care for them and you love them, the people right there in your life, you know, that you're doing for me. And so you're going to learn to walk on 2 feet. And I think sometimes we as Christians could be spiritual. I have to call them spiritual monopods, taking from the C.S. Lewis book. There we have these creatures that have just 1 foot. You know, like my kids, they would I used to read the stories to them. They would get my shoes and put both feet in one shoe and walk around like monopods.
That was Prince Caspian?
It's the Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Dawn Treader, right, yeah.
Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And so we can be spiritual monopods where we're just walking on the 1 foot. Sometimes we focus on, we know, yeah, we're supposed to be nice to our neighbor and be kind to your wife and, you know, be a good dad. You know, but really, if I'm growing in holiness, it's all about what I do in the chapel. It's about my spiritual reading. It's about my devotions. And we have to see, no, we're called to walk with 2 feet. And it's love of God and love of neighbor. So yes, I encounter the Lord in prayer, encounter him profoundly in the sacraments, and when I encounter the truth that's passed on through the teachings of the church. But the fourth major habit of a disciple that Acts the Apostles lists in Acts 2:42 is also fellowship, where I encounter Jesus in my neighbor. So when I encounter a baby waking up at 3 a.m, like there's something, that's not just like, oh, I got to get out of bed and go take care of this kid. That's Jesus to me.
Yeah.
And am I going to do that joyfully? Which I always do, right, honey? Or I do it grumpily or whatever, but that's a moment of encountering Jesus in that child's cry. Or when my wife is going through a rough time, a rough day, and she needs a little more of my care and attention, and I have these other projects I want to work on. That right there, that's a key opportunity to grow in holiness.
Right.
It is not just like what's happening in this feeling in my spiritual life inside. It's, am I living the Beatitudes? Am I living Christian love, love of God and love of neighbor?
And there's no shortcuts. I can't get out of that. I have to live like Jesus. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Pretty much. I think that's what he said. Okay. Take up your cross and follow me. Those are his words, not mine.
Jack in South Dakota, you are up next. You are on with Dr. Edward Sree. Your question, please.
Hi.
Hi, Jack.
Doctor. Thanks for taking my call. So I have a question. So there's a lot of holy people in the world, and the church, like, wants to make those known, and they're canonized for, because they're saints. They're so holy. So, yeah, you know, like Padre Pio, Mary. So, obviously, no one could ever be as holy as, like, Jesus, let's say. So, what kind of, like, what level of holiness could we ever attain, like, on earth?
Ah, okay. Well, Jesus does say, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So there is that high standard. He's calling us to that. And at the same time, we know that we're fallen. Unlike the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, she was given an extraordinary, unique gift as the Immaculate Conception and was faithful to gift all through her life. So she's utterly perfect. All of us enter in this world with the wound of original sin. We receive his grace at baptism, and that grace grows to the sacraments, the moral life, the prayer life, all that. But yet there's still that wound, and it's a constant struggle. And so I always emphasize that we may not be perfect, but we're still chosen by God. And if you look at the disciples themselves, you look at the disciples in the Gospels, these were men that were far from perfect, and yet they were still chosen by God. And I say that they're models not of perfection. They're models of a process. You take Peter, for example. It's not as if Jesus saw Peter on the shores of Galilee and said, come follow me, and then bam, Peter becomes Mr. Saint, you know, right, the solid rock upon which the church is going to be built. No, he is a long work in process. I mean, after 3 years of discipleship, and he does really well, and many times, I mean, other times he gets it wrong, but after 3 years, at the climactic moment, his biggest test, he fails three times and denies Jesus, you know, so He's definitely a work in process, but he becomes perfected over time, and he eventually goes to Rome and is martyred upside down in Nero's circus, and he lives total Christian self-giving love as a martyr. But again, you don't get the sense that Peter would have done that when he was there on the shores of Galilee or there in Jerusalem after the upper room. He said, I would die with you, but he didn't. He does eventually. And I think that gives us hope, you know, because I look at that. If God can do that in a man like Peter, who is all over the place, you know, he can work with me too.
Jack, how's that for you?
Yeah, that definitely answers my question. Thanks so much, Doctor.
Thank you for the call, Jack. Appreciate it. One of the things that I notice in, I suppose one of the qualities I see in the approach to holiness, in this, you talk about it as a process of transformation, and what Peter goes through, and it's so beautiful in the book, Into His Likeness, how you start with Peter and you end with Peter there in the conclusion, and you talk about that process. It's a lifelong process for Peter to become the Peter who we all celebrate now. But some of that process, it seems to me, is like coming to grips with the implications of the gospel. Like I might say at a young age, oh, I love you, Jesus, and I'm 100% in, which is great. But little by little, I have to realize, okay, that means even when I'm dealing with my brothers and sisters, that means even when I'm driving, that means, you know, like it's almost as if the gospel has to have time to seep into all those corners of me.
Oh, all over the place, right? That means, you know, you've got something going on at your parish that really frustrates you.
Yeah.
I was just talking with someone just recently about this. They were sharing all their frustrations of bad things happening in the parish, you know, bad teaching, bad liturgical practice. And that's sad that that's happening. And we want to pray that that gets better. But I also challenge a person saying, you know what, that's happening. And God wants to use that for some good in your life too. That maybe, you know, God's challenging you to offer it up for him or to pray for these other people. Or maybe these other people that maybe are doing some things that are wrong, Are they all rotten people to the core? Maybe there's something good in these other people in your parish that is an inspiration that God is pointing out. You know, yeah, they're doing these things wrong, but man, they're really cheerful. Or wow, they spontaneously help people all the time, and you need to be challenged in that. So you can't, and that's like, whoa, wait, I just thought I got all the right answers. And the gospel is constantly pushing us to take those next levels of allowing Jesus's life to change us. And we have to look at every situation in our life, every opportunity. Is God's allowing that to come and to happen in our lives? Because it's a chance that then we could be more like him.
888-318-7884 is our number. If you prefer the spelled version, 888-31-TRUTH. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Sri, we're discussing holiness today. What is it? And how do I get it? And why does it matter? We go now to Joshua in Clarksville, Tennessee, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Joshua, your question for Dr. Sri.
Hi. So in my own personal quest for holiness, I've recently been digging around in Catholic mysticism and things like centering prayer and what that's based off of, the quiet of unknowing. And I'm wondering if looking into all this stuff, and I've heard a lot of bad things about centering prayer, but I'm wondering if trying to find new ways to experience God could be more of a selfish desire rather than a holy desire.
That's a really great question, Joshua, and I want to just encourage you, just the fact that you're asking that question, that's a humble question to ask. That's a sign of God doing good things in your soul. So, you know, because many people they're often doing things. St. John of the Cross talks about this, where there are souls that are just, they just want the feelings of prayer. And so they're going to do all these things to try to get these feelings of closeness, whether it's, you know, attachments to religious items or certain ways of praying or doing certain things. That it's always about the feeling. But, you know, the feelings in prayer aren't really a sign of holiness. If they come, then you sense you delight in God, or you get a nice insight on your life, you feel encouraged when you go out of prayer. Wonderful. You thank the Lord. If you fell asleep during prayer, if you were completely bored during prayer, if you were completely distracted, you thank the Lord as well. So I think you're right on that you don't want to do things where you're seeking to try to stir up those feelings, because that's more about self. You wouldn't do that with a good dating relationship or a good marriage. It's not about your feelings. It's about the relationship, and that's what you want to be focused on.
Joshua, thanks very much. Well, you know what? Hang on, Joshua. If you may have a follow-up. We'll get to that after the break. If you do, we'll be right back with more Dr. Edward Sri on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with program info, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. Just go to EWTN.com/wings. Fill out your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. When you get yours, send it to all your friends, and they can send it to their friends. And pretty soon, we're covering the whole world with the good news about EWTN. Wings, the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Catholic Answers is doing it again. We're holding our fifth annual Apologetics Conference this September in beautiful San Diego, California, and we'd like to see you there.
We've had a wonderful time going home all enthused.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
Normally, you'd have to root through a dozen different books to get half the stuff I've learned here.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Join us this September 27th to the 30th for a lively and inspiring conference with an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith. All of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and special keynote speaker, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke.
I enjoy the atmosphere and the friendliness of the people, and I'm having a great time.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
I've just learned so much. You know, I've been a Catholic all my life. It's just been so wonderful.
I love it. I want to come back every year.
Would you like to become a Catholic Answers Live parish partner? We need you to help us spread the word at your local parish. We'll give you bumper stickers, window clings, flyers, everything you need to let your parish know about the best Catholic radio show on the air. We want you to partner with us. Email us at calpartners@catholic.com today and become a Catholic Answers parish partner. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Very happy to be joined by our guest, Dr. Edward Sri, one of the important, reasonable, and charitable voices in the Catholic public life today here in the United States. And we're so happy to have him with us. And we're discussing holiness. I am trying to get him to agree that I don't need to be holy, that I don't have to fill up that lack, but he won't agree with it. He says, I got to do it. Apparently, that's a requirement of the Christian life, to be on your way to holiness. Is that correct?
That's Jesus. That's not me. That's Jesus. I'm just passing on his wisdom.
But the truth is that if to the degree in my life that I do oppose the work of God to make me holy, I'm just delaying being happy, really.
Yeah, delaying being happy, and it's going to have an impact on other people. You know, I always like to bring up the fact that,
right,
you know, my spiritual life, my commitment to prayer, my commitment to growing in holiness, seeking to imitate Christ, isn't just about me. To the extent that I'm not living deeply in Jesus and cultivating an interior life, to that extent, it's going to affect other people. You know, so, you know, in other words, like, let's just say, like, in a marriage, like my marriage, my wife needs a lot more than just Ted Sree's care, attention, love, affection. Because it's, you know, my love for her is noble and sincere, but in many ways it can fall short because it's tainted by my own weaknesses and sins and wounds and hurts and all those things. And she needs Jesus radiating through me. My kids need a lot more than my love for them because it's, again, it will fall short. It won't satisfy. They need Jesus radiating through me. The people that read my books, my colleagues, my friends, my students, again, they need more than my or nice organization skills or a highly organized lecture or, you know, nice witty turn of phrase in a book. You know, it can't be just me. I want to give them Jesus. And so we have to realize that's why we want to make the interior life, you know, the great priority. And you know, I'll tell a fun story. I'll embarrass my wife here. But, you know, so she, you know, we have 8 kids. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about this from the ages of 17 down to a 2-year-old. So you can imagine we're a very full house. So my wife is actually fasting from caffeine right now. But previous to this recent fast, she had this tradition of making her commitment to prayer beginning the night before. And that was she would make her coffee the night before and then she would put it in a thermos and have it right next to her bed so that when the alarm gets off in the morning, first thing she does in the morning, she gets down on her knees and sits next to our bed, opens up the window, looking out of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains, and she would do her commitment of morning meditation and prayer and have her coffee right there before she ever left the bedroom, before she'd go downstairs. Because she knows if she goes downstairs, all these kids, starts. I need this. Can I have this? Yeah. Can I have this? And then, you know, she wants to give – she needs it for her own soul first and foremost out of love of God. But out of love of neighbor, she needs to give our kids the best of herself. And she can't do that if she's running on empty on her own fumes. She needs Christ and the Spirit radiating through her. And I think that's just a great model that we want to always be thinking, are we making the pursuit of holiness? Are we making the interior life really the true priority? Because it affects others. One last thought on this side, just that if I could. You know, the Missionaries of Charity, wonderful sisters, I'm blessed to do some teaching with them. They every day begin with a holy hour at Mass. And before they go out and do this hard labor of serving the poorest of the poor, they say this prayer that's attributed to Newman. It's based on some things from Newman. It's called Radiating Christ, where they basically pray, Jesus, may every soul I come in contact with look up and see no longer me, but you, Jesus, shining through me. That's what we want. I want every soul I come in contact with, whether it's my spouse, my child, my friends, my students, my colleagues, I want them to see not just me, but Jesus. That's why we're pursuing one of the benefits of or the reasons we're pursuing holiness.
Amen. Amen to that. We left Joshua with a little bit of short shrift there before the break. Joshua, I didn't know if you had a follow-up, and I didn't have time to ask you because the music was playing. Did you have any follow-up for Dr. Sree on your question about the experience of holiness in prayer?
Yeah. Firstly, I really did like your initial answer. It spoke to my heart. I was just curious, though, if you had any methods of more contemplative prayer or ways to meditate on Scripture that go beyond just reading it.
Yeah. Are you familiar, Josh, with the method of Lectio Divina, traditional method of reading Scripture? Does that term mean anything to you?
It rings a bell. I haven't. Yeah. Into it,
okay. I'm going to tell you 2 things. So one is Lectio Divina, great traditional prayer. You can Google that. Pope Benedict writes a lot about it. But basically, it's simply, you know, so it starts with a simple reading of the Scripture where you read a certain passage, let's say from the Gospels, and you're reading that passage slowly, like one word slowly or one sentence or phrase slowly. And then you go back, and as you maybe read it a second time, you just pause and think, what word stands out to me? Is there something that God's word is speaking to me right now? And I just kind of start thinking about it maybe, and I start to reflect on it. How does that word or that image from Jesus's life, this gospel story, how does it apply to my life right now? So I'm thinking about it, meditating on it. Then I'm talking to God about it and saying, Lord, what are you trying to show me through this here right now? You know, maybe I'm sensing God wanting me to be more courageous on something or to trust him more. Maybe I'm sensing him wanting me to forgive someone or to ask forgiveness, whatever it is. So I'm talking to God about it and asking how it applies to my life. And then I make a resolution at the end to try to put it into practice. So that's one very simple way we can always use the scriptures to prayer. You mentioned centering prayer and other things like the cloud of unknowing and things like that. And I would say, there's methods out there that are trying to clear your mind and just center on nothing. That's not good. Well, if we're going to do centering prayer, we want to center on Jesus, center on God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. But those are things that oftentimes when you're finding your meditation just isn't working. This is what St. John of the Cross says, that you just are completely unable to meditate. All those books that you used to use that gave you such delight and insight, you just can't. You can't do that. It's not working anymore. You're not getting anything out of it. Then that's a sign that maybe the Lord's calling you to put those books aside, put those particular methods aside, and just rest with him and sit in quiet with him. And maybe that's where you start focusing on just like the famous Jesus prayer. Just say the name of Jesus and speak it slowly, whispering it with love, and you're resting more in his presence. That, you don't necessarily have to go seek that out, but when you're noticing that the normal methods of prayer that you've been using for a long time aren't working anymore, that may be a sign of God inviting you to a deeper level of prayer.
How's that, Joshua?
That was great. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it, Joshua. We're talking holiness today with Dr. Edward Sree. And we go now to Carl in Shoreview, Minnesota, listening on Ave Maria Radio. I got to have a note here, Carl, that says you're listening on Ave Maria Radio via the Amazon Echo Dot. Is that correct, Carl?
That is. Thank you, gentlemen.
That's a first for
us. Got this as a Christmas gift. I'm 60 years old and not super tech savvy. My wife set it up. It's terrific. There's actually a Catholic traditional conservative priest who talked about he was amazed. He had gotten one as a gift as well. And there's so many Catholic apps, but you can connect to literally hundreds of radio stations.
Just before you, I just want to say, Carl, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but just before you ask your question to Dr. Sree, the best Catholic app, I'm pretty sure you are going to say, is the Catholic Answers app. Is that where you?
The Ave Maria app.
Oh, what? Yeah. What? Carl, call back. We need to start this call over again. All right. I tried. Yeah, I fished for it, Carl. Why don't you give Dr. Sree your question?
Sure. Now, 3 days ago, the Democratic Party held a big rally protesting Trump's tax cuts, and there was a nefarious nun that was real prominent at the rally who said that paying higher taxes is equivalent to holiness, and it fit in with your topic here today. And I was wondering if there was any grounding in scripture, or you heard anything. And she also further justified it by saying that it fit in with Pope Francis's new paradigm and his social justice revolution.
Okay, so what is the connection between taxes and holiness? Or maybe
Render unto Caesar what's Caesar's. No, I think a cynical conservative economist might say, yeah, paying more taxes grows in holiness because you're going to suffer more and have more to offer up, and your anger and all those kinds of things.
You can offer those.
So maybe agree on that. I don't know exactly what this particular woman was saying in the over context. I won't comment directly on her because I just don't know directly. But I would say, if to the extent we are being generous and serving the poor and those in need, then that's a way, that's one means, not the only, but it's certainly a big means of growing in holiness, is, as we talked about earlier, loving your neighbor, that which we do to the least of our brethren we're doing to Christ. So I don't necessarily think we have to tie that to taxes per se. I think maybe the better emphasis is, being more charitable, being more generous with the poor and those in need. That does help increase holiness. Just paying taxes to a bureaucracy that you're not sure where the money's actually going toward, that's a, if it's all going toward good, that could that help? Sure, but I think there's be a lot of prudential questions about whether that's really happening.
Carl, thank you. Thanks very much for that call. Appreciate it. We're talking holiness today with Dr. Edward Sree. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. We go now to Marissa in York, Pennsylvania, watching on Facebook. Thanks for joining us on Facebook, Marissa. Your question for Dr. Sree.
Hi, Dr. Shree. I really love your writing, and thank you for talking on this topic today. I have been a student of prayer, and I say a student because I'm not always been a good one. But from the beginning of my prayer life, which started about 30 years ago, I have absolutely been a follower of St. Teresa of Avila, and especially her book, The Interior Castle. And she speaks of something called a spiritual betrothal. And then she also refers to something called the sovereign marriage, or the marriage to His Majesty, where the Lord dwells within. And I'm wondering if these are heights, or these interior mansions are out of the reach of everyday normal people, because I know that Teresa mostly wrote to her sisters in the convents with her. So
yes.
Do you think that it's within the realm of possibility for those who are of us who live in the world and are married and have other worldly calls?
Yeah, two things on this point. First of all, we're all called to be part of the bride, the spouse of Jesus Christ, as members of the church. So that's there. That's just by virtue of our baptism. We receive our bridegroom in Holy Communion. So there is this real intimacy that we have with Jesus, just by being a good devout Catholic. Now, when she's describing like the great depths of the interior life, I think I'll turn to, if I could, turn to John of the Cross on this one, because he also describes that kind of spousal relationship and this profound union, and in this canticle of the spiritual canticle at all. This is something that God wants to do in every soul. It's not, the idea of the Holy Trinity coming to dwell within us is something Jesus promised all disciples. It doesn't mean it's going to look the same as it would with a cloistered nun, as it would with a married person raising kids. And it doesn't mean it's going to happen as quickly or all at once. But yet, this is what God does want to do with everyone. It may not look that way. We may not reach the heights but yet God wants to come dwell there. And the question is, can we let him? And just because someone is married and is living in the active life and raising children as a layperson doesn't mean that they can't experience this kind of profound mystical union with Jesus. Our vocation is not an obstacle to that kind of union. It's precisely in our vocation that God uses that in order to bring us to a deeper union with him.
Marissa, I hope that was helpful. We are right up against the break, so we got to go. We'll be right back with more Dr. Edward Shree. We're talking holiness on Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back after this.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Today, countless people have drifted away from their faith. You know the story. Faithful parents and grandparents see their children and grandchildren drift away from the church. At first, they just stop going regularly, but they still consider themselves Christian. Then, later, they or their children stop even thinking of themselves as Christian. Eventually, some of them turn bitter and hostile to religion. This sorrowful sequence has played itself out over and over, literally millions of times. Perhaps it's even played out in your own family. The good news is that there's hope. That's why Catholic Answers is releasing a new book by apologist Matt Nelson. It's called Just Whatever: How to Help the Spiritually Indifferent Find Beliefs That Really Matter. The book is designed to help people without firm Catholic beliefs, regardless of where they're coming from. They may only identify as Christians in a kind of nebulous way. They may say that they're spiritual, but opposed to organized religion. Or they may be hostile to religion altogether. Whatever their current views, Matt's new book contains winning, persuasive means for helping them get past their current difficulties and see just how important it is to have a life-transforming encounter with God. To make your donation and get a free copy of Just Whatever, visit Catholic.com and click the Just Whatever banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Just Whatever banner at Catholic.com, or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
Did you know that Catholic Answers Live is on TV? What began as a monthly series on EWTN in April of 2017 is now going to be coming to you on a weekly basis. You can catch Catholic Answers Live TV Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN, with an encore at 2:30 a.m. on Sundays. We'll also be available soon on Apple TV, Roku, and the Augustine Institute's multimedia platform, Form. Make a point of making Catholic Answers Live TV part of your weekly viewing, and we'll see you on the airwaves.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. Next hour, Jimmy Akin will be in here, and it'll be open forum, full hour of open forum with Jimmy Akin. That means any question that you've got on the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church, we will be happy to take it. And the number is the same that hour as this, 888-318-7884. I'm also remiss. I have been remiss. I haven't reminded you that we're in the midst of our big spring sale. Use promo code SPRING18 at shop.catholic.com. And everything is 15% off, other than bulk orders. If you're a bookstore ordering dozens of books or something, those are not. That's handled differently. But all books, CDs, DVDs, ebooks, tracks, MP3s, everything's on sale for 15% off right now at shop.catholic.com. And that goes until Carrie says it's over, because I don't have a date here when it's over. So whenever Carrie says it's over, it's over. And that could be at any minute. You probably should get there right now. Dr. Edward Sree is our guest. We're discussing one of his – well, the topic of one of his books. But actually, it's a topic that is covered in many of his books, Holiness. The book that I have in my hands, however, is Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ. And there are remain lots of folks on the phone want to talk to you, Dr. Sree. So I'm going to just – move as quickly as I can through the calls. Rodrigo in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. There are a lot of people in Texas that want to be holy today. Rodrigo, glad to have your call. Your question for Dr. Sree.
Yes, hey, how are you guys doing?
Very good.
Yes, I have a question. Who is considered to be more holy? There is some people who go to church every Sunday, but when they go out of church, they don't seem to be very Catholic, you know, they don't act accordingly to what the church teaches. And in the other hand, there is some people who probably don't go to church every Sunday, but they are better persons. You know, they help people whenever they can. They are not hypocrites. They love their family or. So in general, they are better people. So in this case, what would you consider to be a holy person, a person who goes to church every Sunday but don't practice anything of what they go to listen when they go to church, or people who actually don't go every Sunday but actually, are better people?
All right, Rodrigo, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the sanctimeter, as you say,
would actually
come up with. But, first of all, I would go to something Jesus says. He's very clear. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? So in other words, you can't just go, well, I believe in the Lord. I believe Jesus is God, but I don't really do what he says. You can't really, be a true disciple. A true disciple, Jesus says, is someone who hears the word of God and does it. Now, and I think that challenges both categories here, right? If there's someone that's going to church every Sunday, but they're not living according to the church's teaching, they're going out and just living in a sinful life, particularly if it's mortal sin, well, they're in serious situation of separation from God. Even though they go to church on Sunday, their actions are out of line with what God is calling them to. Similarly, the person who's a really kind person and loving, and that there may be noble elements there, and I'm sure God and the angels are rejoicing over those noble elements. But if that person knows they're supposed to go to church on Sunday, they also are hearing the word of God and not doing it willfully. Now, I want to be clear, if you're sick or you have some serious external circumstances, the church is merciful. We understand those things. I'm talking about someone's intentionally just saying, I just want to be with my family. I just want to love people and I don't want to go to church. That's part of what we're all called to is worship of God, and God is asking us to come to Him in the Holy Mass, to worship Him, to receive Him in communion, and to willfully refuse that is a serious roadblock in my relationship with God.
Rodrigo, does that address your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I was just curious about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Does that thing about going to Mass on Sundays, that's during football season too? Like you're saying...
You mean soccer?
Well,
most soccer games are on Saturday, so that wouldn't conflict.
Oh, no, here, I don't know. What country are you from? You call that
I follow football. Football is the world sport, yes.
I thought I was being so clever, and you out-clevered me. Michael in Lafayette, Indiana, also watching on Facebook. You are on with Dr. Edward Sree, who doesn't know what football is, but he can help you with holiness. Your question, please.
Hello. How do I even motivate myself to be holy?
Tell me, Michael, I take it you're a Christian, you're a Catholic, or you believe in God? Is that you're wondering how do you motivate, like, growing in that relationship? Is that where you're at?
Yes, I'm Catholic, and, you know, I think it sounds good, but I'm struggling to actually motivate myself to actually be holy.
Okay. Well, once again, I think to view this thing of this idea of pursuing holiness is not just some vague thing. Just look at it as simply... that you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus. You want to grow in your friendship with Him. So the first step is simply ask Him. Say, Jesus, I know you're important, and I know you should be the center of my life. I want to make you more the center. I want to grow in my relationship with you. Help me do that. I that's the number one thing. Just go ask Him. Ask Him to help you motivate Him. And then do some things where you're putting some things into practice. Just as simple as taking time each day to pray. And I don't mean saying some prayers like bless us, O Lord, or our Father, or Hail Mary. I mean actually, like we talked about earlier, maybe some time for quiet with Scripture. There's a wonderful book by my friend Tim Gray that wrote about Lectio Divina. It's called Praying Scripture for a Change, an Introduction to Lectio Divina. That'd be a great book to help introduce you or anyone out there on how to adopt that traditional model of using Scripture to prayer for prayer. But having a little bit of time every day, going to Mass a priority in your life, those are the things that are going to be helpful. You can't just sit back and say, well, I should try to go in holiness. You actually have to act. It's kind of like anything in life, I think. You know, you want to lose weight or you want to, you know, exercise more. You can't just go, well, I hope I'll do that someday. You got to actually say, all right, I'm going to actually put this into practice. I'm going to go to the gym or I'm going to go work out. I'm going to go do what I need to do. And I think when you actually start doing it, then you realize, wow, this is a better way of living, and it'll start taking off. But it won't take off if you're just sitting on the sidelines and hoping it'll somehow do it on its own.
Okay, Michael?
Yeah, those are practical tips because my prayer life is non-existent, so those are very good tips.
Oh, yeah. So, look for that. I don't have a copy of it to send you, but Tim Gray's book, Praying Scripture for a Change, An Introduction to Lectio Divina, do take a look at that, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Let's go to Andrew in Santa Barbara, California, also watching on Facebook. Andrew, thanks for watching on Facebook. Your question for to Edward Sree.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi. My question has to do with morals. So I'm an individual who's trying to get into the aerospace industry in the future. Would it be, you know, morally justifiable for someone to work for an aerospace company that not only produces aircraft and spacecraft, but, you know, weapons as well? How can we call ourselves like a holy Catholic and work for a company that may do something that's morally wrong? Thank you.
Yeah, these are delicate matters, not knowing the particular company and exactly what they're producing and what your role will be in producing that. I can't speak into that. But I would say in general that it's okay for a nation to have companies that produce weapons to defend themselves, you know. So if we're talking about just simply like that, that's fine. Now we're talking about more mass destruction kinds of things that indiscriminate killing. That's where you start getting into areas where is that the best thing to do? But then also, what's your participation in that? But in general, to say, "Oh, I'm working for a company that happens to produce weapons," that in itself wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing.
Okay, Andrew.
If you played NFL football, maybe that would be more problematic. But
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you said there.
I'm just making back jokes to Cy here.
He said if you played NFL football, that might be a moral problem. But it seemed like that was clear for you, Andrew.
Yeah, that perfectly answered my question. Thank you.
All right, thank you. God bless you, brother. Appreciate that call. Real quick, Carl in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. I got to get all the Texas people in today, but you got to be really quick so Dr. Sri will have time to answer your call.
The question is, how do we harmonize Tracy's humble little way with being a leader in the community, professor or a chair or business executive?
Excellent. You actually will be much more effective the smaller, the littler, the humbler you are. And that's just true for anything in life. The reason Teresa of Lisieux is such a great leader to this day as a doctor of the church, a great saint, is because of her utter humility, that she put her trust completely, not in herself, not in her own ability. She recognized her own weaknesses, her inadequacies, her shortcomings. And that gave her great boldness to trust in God. And if we want to be bold in the business world and leadership and whatever God may be calling us to, let's put that trust not in our own abilities, but in God, and that'll make us even more courageous.
Carl, thanks for getting that question out so quickly. You really did us a favor there, and I'm glad we were able to get an answer. Anybody who wants to know more about St. Teresa, also called the Little Flower, you can find her story of a soul pretty much everywhere. You probably find it online, I imagine. Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ is the book that we've been discussing with Dr. Edward Sri. Dr. Sri, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
And continued success at the Augustine Institute. So many wonderful things coming out of there. Formed.org.
Formed.org, a great resource of many great programs, including some things from Catholic Answers.
That's right. Check out Formed.org, you can go to the Augustine Institute to find out all about Dr. Sri. Coming up next, Jimmy Akin will be here, a full hour of open forum right after this on Catholic Answers Live.